A couple of things that this last week has been interesting in the Middle East. Tunisia and Libya both, it looks like, have gone toward the radical side of Islam with Sharia law. Libya, as soon as they won the war, stated that they will be a nation of Sharia law, which that's not going to be good. Tunisia evidently has set up their parliament with a large number of the fundamentalist group, the sect. It's called Ennahda is the party, but they will probably lean towards Sharia law also. Egypt, there's been a lot of articles I've read lately. One of them is by an Egyptian billionaire who is a Christian, and he is not thinking that it's going to go good in Egypt at all. He's very worried about it. So, like I said, you know, once this gets started, it'll probably domino across all these countries and be even more radical and problematic in that area than it has been. If y'all saw the news last week, the Israeli soldier was brought back out of captivity after 5.5 years. Israel agreed to release over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners for this one Jewish soldier. The initial exchange was about 500 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, and the second phase was supposed to have happened this week. In the last 24 hours, there's been over 40 rockets fired from Gaza into Israel. It killed one Israeli man, injured several others. The Israeli Defense Forces have attacked in places in Gaza, in small areas, and killed a few of the militants. Now the Israelis are thinking about holding up the next 550 prisoner exchanges, and they should. If that is the response out of Gaza for this exchange, then Israel, they ought to withhold it. So that's what's happened. So that's very tense. And then sadly, we saw that 17 U.S. troops were killed in Kabul yesterday. That just hurts so bad every time we see that. And then in the midst of all this, it was just one of those things that you're going, where in the world did that come out of? Monday, out of the Vatican, the Pope released a document calling for a world political and financial authority. A new world. I mean, just reading through this, you're going, hasn't he read the book of Revelation? Doesn't he? What's going on? I mean, you're just going, oh my goodness, it's really strange to see that. So, anything else anybody saw that was going on? Yes. Really?
I'm refusing to take this that's been defaced.
And that's really right. I mean, you're not supposed to deface any of the currency.
Just look at your money before you take it.
And I'd seen a little bit about it. I didn't know how. I didn't check up on the actuality of that or anything, but evidently that may be going on, so that's pretty strange. Okay, from last week, so for the next couple weeks after this, we're doing coordinated lessons based on the sermon of In God We Trust. From last week, we looked at what it looks like in our lives if we trust God and if we don't trust God. If we trust God, we realize that we own nothing. He owns everything. We become percent givers, and I said even sacrificial givers. We avoid excess debt because we realize that we should not be living off of someone else. But excess debt means that it's manageable. I mean, we live within our means. Even if we incur debt, we do it wisely. We have collateral. We have a payoff schedule, and it's something that we can manage. We realize that even spending decisions are spiritual decisions. As Christians, every decision that we make is a spiritual decision. Every decision makes us a little more like Christ or less like Christ. So spending is the exact same way. And we find that we can't ever give enough. He blesses us, and I will talk to anybody and give you testimony after testimony after testimony just in our personal lives how that has been. In God we distrust. We say that we own our own stuff. It's all ours. We're tippers, meaning that after we've satisfied all of our needs and desires and everything with our money, then we give out of what's left. We use debt excessively because, after all, we can just borrow as much as we want, and government's going to bail us out anyway. So, spending decisions are my decisions, meaning that God just doesn't understand 401ks in the stock market, so I need to make those decisions myself. And then once you're down this path, you realize that we can't ever get enough. There is no end to it. There's no final satisfaction. We always want more. From last week, what I left you with was the statistics that show that body-wide, the Christian churches in America give 2.38% of their finances to the church. And just out of, you know, curiosity, I said, what if our church, everyone tithed? Meaning that if we're at that 2.38% level and our budget is $8 million somewhere in there for this next year, what would it look like if everybody tithed? And if that is $32 million, what could be done with that? How would that affect the community? How would that affect the panhandle? People across the world, what could you do with that? That's amazing to think of the possibilities. And now, fully realize, and we've talked about this before in previous lessons, there's time, not everybody can give. Not everybody can tithe. There are times when that has to happen, that some things happen in a person's life that they are not able to do that. That's where the church body should step in and help those individuals. And we have done that before. But that should be our focus, is to help those in the church body first to get them through those times. We found in this class also, it's interesting, most of the time when we're helping somebody, we just need to help them get over a hump. You know, something happened this month, and I just need help with rent or utilities or something. And if I can get past this, then everything's going to be okay. Most of the time, that's what happens. Some people just need help getting over a hump. The other times where it's more of a long-term deal, we suggest that maybe you need to take Dave Ramsey or Crown Financial in order to help you understand your finances, your budget, for the long haul. We can help you get through a crisis, but if you don't understand how to work your finances, you may be right back in the same boat again, and you know, we don't want that to happen. We want people to grow through these times. And it's interesting, too, that a couple of years ago, whenever the government helped the home foreclosure market, the statistics showed that a year later, over half of those people were back into foreclosure. Why is that? Because they weren't trained. It was just, the help was just given without any training. And so they were right back in the same position. They didn't know how to handle it in the first place. And so therefore, a year later, they were right back as bad as they were before. So it's that training that needs to take place, that discipling. And of course, now they're talking about doing it again. So, I want people to be helped, but I want them to, you know, learn through it too. And that's the place our government isn't very good at, is the long-term training. Many of our financial problems stem from a misunderstanding of ownership. And that is, who owns what I have? Who owns that? And it's either we own it or God owns it. So those are the choices, okay? And once we understand what God owns in our lives, things begin to be handled differently, okay? And here's what I'm talking about. Some people have the mindset that, okay, I'll give 10%. That's God's. I understand that. So then the 90% is mine. No. It all is God's, and that 90% is just the blessing that you have, the privilege of you have of managing what is God's in the beginning. We have to understand that every single thing, our money, our retirement funds, our house, our cars, our family, everything belongs to God. Everything is His. It is just passing through us on the way to somewhere else. That includes our kids, and some of you are hoping they'll pass through faster. But it's all passing through us. We're just the stewards of this. It all belongs to God. But our mindset, especially in our society, is, now wait a minute, I worked really hard for this. I spent a lot of my time, I worked hard for it, I got paid well, and these are my things that I worked hard for. Well, and see, God knew that. In Deuteronomy, He told Moses before they went into the promised land that once these people get in, they're going to think they did all this themselves. They're going to be proud of what they've done, and they're going to think it was all themselves. And he says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. And that seems to be our attitude sometimes. I did this. I went to work. I worked hard with you, and I made this myself. I earned it. Okay? But God's response is, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. See, that's one step back toward the source. That says, even the ability, even my talents, even the things that I used to raise that money, to earn that money, those were also from God. Without that, I am not able to do that. It is all from God. It all came from him, even the ability to earn that money. When Paul says in Ephesians 4:28, why do we work? He says, it is so that we will have something to share with those in need. Now then, is that why you went to work this week? See, that gives me a whole different impetus on why I go to work. Is it for me, or is it to where I'll have something to share? Because if it's all from God, and we are standing ready to use our funds, our possessions, in the manner he directs, then it's all going somewhere else anyway. So why do I go to work? In order that I can have something to share with somebody else? Is that how we look at it? So see, that starts giving us a whole different perspective. That gets back to the source of that wealth, the source of those talents, the source of everything that we have, it being God. That's why whenever the Jews celebrated Passover and had the cup and the wine, I mean the bread and the wine, and we celebrate communion, we have the bread and the cup, the Jewish blessing at that time was, blessed be thou our God who bringeth forth bread out of the earth. Not only thanking God for the bread itself, but the earth that produced the wheat that produced that bread. They are pointing back to, we thank God for everything, because without that, we wouldn't be holding the bread itself. They back it up to the source of that bread, the source of everything, the very God who created that earth. If you think about it, every person on earth in history has had a claim against them in some manner. Everyone is indebted in some manner. You say, well, I don't owe anybody anything. Oh, yeah? Wait till the electric bill comes next week. Do you owe somebody something? We all owe somebody something. And you think, okay, well, that's just money. All right. You are indebted to God, because you're breathing air, you're drinking water. We are all indebted to someone, and we are all ultimately indebted to God himself. Now then, it's interesting that God alone is indebted to no one. He tells Job, who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Every person who has ever existed is indebted in some manner. Monetarily, physically, whatever it is, we owe our existence, we owe what we have to somebody. God alone has no claim against him. God alone is indebted to no one. So he is the source of all things. He is the beginning of all things. Now then, this, if Job was the earliest book in the Bible, then roll it ahead a few hundred years, and David writes in Psalms, about 1000 B.C., the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything belongs to God. Every single thing belongs to God. He writes in Psalm 89, the heavens are yours, and yours also, the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. Everything has come from you, God, and God alone. Okay? So now then, if you look at these verses and see that all these were written before David began to build the temple. And what's important about this is we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 29. So go back to Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29. So understand that these verses out of Job and the verses that David wrote in the Psalms were all written down. This understanding existed before the event described in 1 Chronicles 29. And we're going to be going kind of backwards through Chronicles 29, 1 Chronicles 29. So I want to show you some of the, what's going on. Then we're going to look at how that occurred. How did this come about? So 1 Chronicles 29:10, David is praising God. He is saying this prayer before the entire Israelite assembly. Because what has happened is that David, who wanted to build God's permanent home, the temple, was told by God that, no, you're not going to build it. Your son Solomon will build it. Solomon built the temple and David was already dead. So he's already out of the picture. However, David raised the funds for building the temple. Okay? So he's raising these funds and then he's going to turn it all over to Solomon. David's going to die. He's gone by the time the temple has even begun. Okay? So David is standing in front of all the Israelites and he is praising the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours." There it is. Okay? He's just following what he has always believed, what he wrote in the Psalms. And this is toward the end of David's life, probably after 1000 B.C., and he is just saying exactly what he has believed all his life. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. So just like he said before, God said, even the ability to produce wealth comes from me. David says the same thing. Wealth and honor, everything that we have, all of our capabilities, those are from you too, God. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. So he is praising God for something that has happened, and it's in front of the whole assembly, and he's going back and saying, everything that has just happened is because it all starts with God. Not only the possessions, not only the funds, not only our ability, everything that we have, all that we are comes from God. All right? So now then, what's important about that? Well, we're going to go forward a little bit. 1 Chronicles 29:14. What are they doing? What has happened here? He says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" Who are we? Who is King David, he says, and who are all these Israelites that we can even give as generously as we have? So there's been a great amount of giving. We're going to go back and look and see what that is. But he's saying, who are we that we're able to do that? Okay? Then he says, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. He says, everything that we've just done, the only reason we're able to do that is because you gave it to us in the first place. All we're doing is taking what you have given us and returning back to you, God. You see that understanding that's going on. And he says, who are we that we're able to do this? All we've done is taken from what is yours, God, and we're just giving it back to you. And when we start seeing our giving in that light, all of a sudden it kind of opens up. Who are we that we're able to work so that somebody else can benefit? Am I working in order to share with somebody else in need? All I'm doing is giving what God has given me and taking and giving it to somebody else. That's all I'm doing. It's just flowing through. That's why talk about holding things with a light touch. It's just passing through. Not grabbing hold of it and holding it with a clenched fist. It's just passing through. Hold it with a light touch. Ready for what God directs. So he says, we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight as we were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. So they have gathered an incredible blessing, offerings, to build his temple, and he says, well, all this is from you anyway. All we're doing is turning it back to you so you have a place to dwell among us. And that's what God told them. You build me a temple, I will dwell among you. So he says, it's all for you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. All right. David says, I have given these things willingly and with honest intent and motivation. Remember the sword that we talked about last week? The sword that divides the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. David says, I gave this willingly and honestly. Then what effect would that have if your king did that? How would that affect your giving? Okay? Well, it says, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. So see, the effect of David doing what he did was that the people joyfully and willingly gave also. In God we trust. Everybody else, we kind of need an example. And David gave that example, and the people followed suit. O Lord, God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. Okay? So out of David's giving came the joyful, willing giving of the people. And he's saying, it's all yours anyway, and everybody understands. We're only giving back what you've already given us. That acknowledgement that we can only give what he has given to us to begin with. And the best illustration I've ever heard is, and a lot of y'all have been parents and you've done this. At some point in your life with your child, when they were real young, at Christmas time, you gave them $20 and said, here, this is so you can go buy your mother and I a present. You give the kid $20 and say, here, go buy me a present. That's exactly what God has done with us. Everything that we have is back for him. We do nothing on our own to give to God. Everything that we have is from him. All we're doing is returning it back to him in some manner. Love God, love others. We're either giving to God, we're giving to others, but it's all back to God. So he has given us this. And it's saying like, now go buy me a present. Same thing David is saying. You gave us to all, we're building your temple. Yes?
Well, and just thinking about the joy that right. that brought my little girl to be able to
exactly.
do that, we should also
and so,
have that same joy.
And so that begins the training of that giving, okay? That joy that I had given my mom that present, you know, that gets that started. That's where it begins. I really do think. Yep. Good point. All right. The confession of David that they are only giving God what God gave them to begin with. The willingness to stand ready to give all back to God should he demand it. It's an anticipation on our part, a readiness to listen to God where he directs, I'm ready to give. Or is that where our hearts are? It's just like when Jesus said to the rich young ruler, you know, go sell everything you have, get it with the poor, and come follow me. He doesn't necessarily demand that of every person. However, are we ready to do that? Are we ready to say, everything that I have is his anyway? It's passing through. Should he direct me, am I ready to give it all? It's all his anyway. Am I ready to do that? That tells us where our hearts are. If we're kind of hanging on to a few things, so, well, I'll give up all this, but, you know, this over here, I need to hang on to. We need to see where our hearts are. That's the sword that's looking at the thoughts and intents. All right, now then, we're going to back up and see where all this began, because once you see where it all began, how it was started, then you understand what these prayers are about that David is talking about. All right, so we'll go back to verse 1. Told you we're going to go backwards. 1 Chronicles 29:1. Then King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. We are building the temple for God to dwell in. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marble, all these in large quantities. Okay? Now then, David is saying, out of his kingship resources, as king, he had access to many things. And he says, out of the resources for the kingship, I'm beginning the giving to God's temple with these resources. And the reason that we know that it's the king's resources, because the next verse says, besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God over and above everything I've provided for this holy temple. So now then he's saying, I started it off with the kingship resources. Now then, out of my personal possessions, over and above that, now I am giving these things. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building, for the gold work and the silver work, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord today? Okay, now then the challenge is, David says, out of the kingship, I'm beginning this. Out of my personal possessions, I am giving over and above what I've already given. And he says, now with that example, who is willing to set themselves aside today for the Lord? The challenge is, I've done this as an example. Who's willing to step up now and do the same? Okay? Makes you think, okay, now then, let's see who sets the example and where do the people go. Next, the group of leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds and officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. So out of David's example, the leaders of the Israelites gave willingly. David started, the leaders were next. And it says, they gave toward the work of the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. So the example from David spurred the leadership to give. The leadership gave willingly, and the people recognized that also. And that's why David said, and now the people are giving willingly and joyfully. But it took that example of David, and then the leaders, and then the people. We see that happen in there, and that's how everybody was motivated to give. We saw it happen. Our leaders set the example. We followed. And so you see it all pieced together, and that's why David said, who are we that we should give like this? It's only because God gave us first, and we are returning back what is already his. That's how it worked. But it took David, the king, the leaders, and then the people followed. Okay? So that's how it's all set out. It's a beautiful scene to see how that was begun and how it was affected to build a temple in that manner. So it was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. Now, and I want to leave you with an image that hits real close home to all of us in here, because we've had friends and family affected by the wildfires in the Panhandle, in Amarillo, in the state of Texas. Most of us know somebody that was affected, okay? Some people have relatives in here that were affected. But this picture, you know, I've seen these pictures in the paper, and it really makes me stop and really look about my life and everything that I have. Here are people that had everything wiped out in just a few minutes. Everything. Now you think, okay, in our society, probably a lot of these people had some savings accounts, some had insurance, and you know, and so somehow they're kind of protected in a manner. But you stop and think, in a moment, everything that they had possession-wise is gone. It's gone. There's nothing. So then you stop and think about it. You're standing there at one of these sites, and that's your home, and it's all gone. What do you think belongs to you? See how easily it can go. With a tornado, with a wildfire, with whatever, it's gone. Now, what is it that you think belongs to you? Those are the times that you really stop and think, okay, now then, where do I stand with this? Where is my heart in this? What is it that I am prepared to give should the Lord command? What am I prepared for? So all of a sudden you see that we hold things with a lighter touch. Because it can be taken in a second. Just like Job, you know, with Job, everything that happened to him, he still said, the Lord gave, the Lord take away. Guess what? I praise his name. May he be praised. Or can we do that in our lives? Are we prepared for that? To lose everything and still say, God be praised. These are the images that bring it home to me, I tell you. You know, we should be smart. We should, you know, think of things that, you know, am I prepared for this in my life? Am I still prepared, no matter what, to continue on and praise God through the whole thing? Any questions? Let's have a prayer. Almighty God, everything that we have, everything that we are, belongs to you. Everything. We truly are nothing without you. The very air that we breathe, the water we drink, as well as our family, our homes, our vehicles, everything is yours, God. Help us to always see that. Help us to open our hearts to that reality and be ready to give in the ways that you direct us. The ways that we touch people in this life, we can't comprehend, but you see it all, God. You orchestrate, you coordinate from one person to the next. And we see the chain of events that happen, and we only see a piece of that, but you see it all, God. Help us to stand ready in all things whenever you speak to jump and be ready to give. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, your Son, who makes it all possible. In his name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.